Innocence Lost is a phrase about as overused as the 23rd Psalm, and New Yorkers often seem to have little innocence to lose. But if innocence is the inability or the unwillingness to expand at the same rate as evil, then we all lost more innocence than we knew we had. The towers were on fire, and it was bad. It was really bad. But I was surprised that the fire seemed not contained, since it was clearly raging out of control, but limited somehow. There was still a lot of building that was clearly identifiable. Most of it was, in fact, in contrast to the smoke and flames that poured out of some of the upper floors, and that is important because everyone, I'm sure, believed that as horrible as everything had become, there was an end in sight, a fire to be controlled, stories to be written, people to be grieved, repairs to be made. When the tower went down, it seemed to have the texture of sand you can hold in fragments in your hand before crumbling it like powdered sugar. Even as it happened, only a mile or so across the harbor, like some distorted mirage, like some bad video feed, there was the feeling that somehow it would stop. Somehow, our belief in structural integrity, in our lack of premonition, we could will it back to form, like some wacky film trick. In the screams and cries and oh my gods that filled the promenade in that moment, in our almost kinetic pull towards the bedrock of Manhattan, there was the wish, the breath, the somatic strain to make it stop. But it stopped at the bottom, and then it was beyond bad. It was beyond really bad. It was beyond anything we could imagine. And then we knew that there was no end to the story. We're designed for closure, perhaps a result of being born, living, and dying, perhaps a result of the 22-minute sitcom. It doesn't matter. When you stop being able to guess at any possible outcome, something shifts, and it shifts in particular ways. One man, having just watched thousands of people die in front of him, strode down the promenade, shouting, "Get out your uniforms, boys and men!" But mostly there was a shift to silence, and simply waiting for what unfathomable thing came next. I thought about the people who must have been evacuating at that moment, probably telling themselves in the stairwells, "Okay, this is bad. This is really bad, but I'll keep going." I didn't know then about those who knew exactly how bad it was and jumped. Marianne and I sat down on the bench together. We watched thousands of living people moving like one entity walking across the Brooklyn Bridge, their backs literally to death and destruction as they headed away. So we just watched from the bridge from a distance until the smoke and ash and dust from the tower blotted out everything. And we left the promenade then, to close windows, to try and get phone calls through, to wait for the smoke to clear so that we could see that there was nothing where there had once been something, and know, even then, that there would be no end to the story.